We are going to be in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. Thank you, choir. And Gail, thank you for the special. I'm glad that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm glad He is sovereign over all. Even those of us who are follically impaired, we make the job easier for Him, the number of the hairs on our head. Brother Cecil said he can't get along, I can't get around very good anymore. I said, well, there's a benefit to that. Wherever they put you, that's where they come back and find you. Amen. But God doesn't need our help. He is sovereign, and He can number the hairs on our head and keep up with our comings and goings and deliver us from all trials and troubles. Let me tell you what we have done with our little devotional handouts each week. You know that you won't find those in your bulletin today. I didn't know how many people were using them, and so I want to be a good steward of our resources. So these are available in three places. A hard copy is available in the foyer of the church. So if you're using these are a benefit to you. I hope you are. There's a pile of those out on the little stand in the foyer of the church. If you are a user of YouVersion and follow along with that particular communication outlet, you will find that it is there for you and will be there each Sunday morning, so you can download that to your device. And if you're not following us on YouVersion, you can go to our website, lakeviewbaptist.net. Under latest news, you can find it there. So hopefully that will alleviate all excuses of not being able to get it. If you don't do internet, it's out there in the floor of the church. If you don't do YouVersion, it's on the website. If you do, it's there. If you don't do it at all, there's three more things for you to ignore in your life. Amen. So we are at Luke 3. We are going through the Gospel of Luke. I think we have preached 14 sermons through the first two chapters. And we begin chapter 3 this morning. And chapter 3 is a chapter that highlights for us John the Baptist. We've talked about his birth. We've talked about the announcement of the conception of John the Baptist with Elizabeth and Zacharias, and now we come to his ministry that we'll deal with this morning and his message that we'll begin dealing with next Sunday morning, Lord willing. So let's look here at verse number 1 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And all God's people said, amen. As I said, in chapter number 2, we saw the birth of John the Baptist. We also have dealt with the birth of Jesus Christ in chapter number 2. And then we saw next Jesus at 40 days of age as Mary and Joseph take him to dedicate him at the temple. And then we jump forward and we see him next at 12 years of age as Mary and Joseph go to Jerusalem for Passover. And then as we begin in chapter number 3, we jump forward in time to where John and Jesus are now around 30 years of age. And it is at this time that we see the ministry of John the Baptist commencing. Now, we want to look here this morning and glean some things from these few verses about the ministry of John the Baptist. And let's begin by looking at the climate that surrounds John's ministry. The climate that surrounds John's ministry. Now, if you'll notice all those particular official names that Luke has given us here in the passage as we begin, the main objective of Luke here is to give us an idea of a date at the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. What Luke wants you to understand and what Luke wants us to understand is that we're not talking about fables or made-up stories. We're talking about historical events. Jesus Christ, our God, has come and has inserted himself into history. And we have these particular people who are in leadership capacities so that we can go back and historically pinpoint the time in which John the Baptist and Jesus Christ began their public ministries. Remember, that's the idea of Luke. He's trying to prove. He's trying to give some substance to all that the Word of God says about Christ. And so, Luke is not trying to convince us of any other thing than the reality of John the Baptist and the reality of Jesus Christ. They are real, literal people in real, literal time, in real, literal situations. So, in this list, we find a couple of things that we need to manifest to our minds beyond the idea that things are properly dated. Number one, I want you to notice the political domination. Now, if you'll look here at these names of Tiberius Caesar and Pontius Pilate and Herod and Philip and Lysanias, we see here that these are Roman officials. And we're reminded here that the Jewish nation is under the political rule of the Roman Empire. They are not free to say, to do as they wish. They are under what they would call oppression. They are under Roman rule. And this rule that is over them, this Roman Empire, has an organization to it. There was the emperor, and then there was the shared rule among other regional figures. And this rule is sort of laid out for us here. Of course, you understand that the Roman Empire was not a godly influence on the people of God. They did not point them toward godliness. They did not point them toward any sort of morality. If you will study the Roman Empire and go back and look at its leaders, you will discover that they were engrossed in all sort of unspeakable wickedness. Personal gain, personal fulfillment ruled the political climate, and that is the climate in which John the Baptist begins his ministry. It was a politically oppressing, politically morally degraded situation that he begins in. But then we have two other names here. We have Annas and the high priest, and Caiaphas, and we see here there is religious darkness as well. These two high priests represent this religious climate that is also the climate in which John the Baptist comes into. Politically, domains under the rule of Roman Empire, but the religious element here is in darkness. Annas was a high priest from 6 to 15 AD. Caiaphas, who was Annas' son-in-law, came to power and remained there until 36 AD. These two controlled the religious climate of that day. I'm here to tell you the religious climate was no better than the political climate. Religiously, the Hebrew people were in moral freefall and in decline. Religiously, the nation was in moral darkness and decay. Depravity was ruling the hearts of the people. Now, I think it's important that we understand this. It is in this political chaos and in this religious darkness that God begins to send light through John the Baptist. The climate of the day, whether politically or religiously, whatever the climate is, it does not prevent God from sending light. And we may say, boy, I tell you what, our country's in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. But that doesn't prevent God from coming into the mess and bringing that exactly what we need. God can overcome the darkness. God can overcome the wickedness. God can overcome the decline morally of our country. And He can shine light into a dark place. I would guarantee you this, the light is more bright in darkness than it is in semi-light. Amen? God moves in the dark. God moves in the degraded moral climates. The climate does not hinder God. Sometimes we sit around, how's God going to do anything? People that are in the churches, the people that are running our country, don't even look. How's God going to do anything? Well, God will do exactly what God wants to do no matter what the climate is in the religious world or in the political world. Amen? Doesn't matter who's in the White House. God reigns and rules over all things. God can shine light into darkness. God can shine light into wickedness. And so we're thankful and grateful for that. That's John's audience. That's where John is going to minister in that kind of climate. Number two, notice not only the climate that surrounds John's ministry, but notice the calling that starts John's ministry. Now here's what Luke says. He says, now in this climate of political domination and religious darkness, it is in that climate that the Word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So in this climate, the Word of God comes to John the Baptist. Remember, God hasn't spoken, has He? Here, after 400 years of silence, God speaks. And the idea that Luke is trying to get across, I think, is that God calls John to a task. Now, I want you to notice the divine authority here. I want you to understand a simple, fundamental truth. A seminary degree or a college degree does not qualify anyone for the work of God. I'll wait on you. A seminary degree nor a college degree qualifies anyone for the work of God. A outgoing personality or the ability to communicate well does not qualify anyone for the work of God. Stature or good looks does not qualify anyone for the work of God. Heritage, who your parents were, what your daddy did, does not qualify anyone for the work of God. The only thing that is essential, the only essential qualification is that God has called, and by divine authority, God has sent. Now, don't get me wrong. I think seminary degrees and college degrees are good. I think communicative ability and personality is important. I think stature and looks is all right. Heritage is good. But none of those things on their own qualify anyone to do the work of God. It is the call of God and the sending of God that qualifies anyone to do anything for God. And here we see John the Baptist, without a degree, strange clothed, strange diet, doesn't look the part, wouldn't be our first choice. If we were voting, we would probably vote him down. But he is given divine authority from God. While we may not choose him, God has chosen him and has called him to the work of sharing and proclaiming the gospel. It is this divine authority in all of the work of God that is essential. You know, sometimes I think we're just looking for the ones that we think are qualified earthly. They have this quality and they have that quality, but the quality that matters, have they been called of God to do that? Have they been given divine authority? There is no authority except what authority is found in the Word of God. Understand this. Unless we are teaching and preaching the Word of God, we have no authority. My opinions and your opinions, well, you know what they say about opinions. Say amen. All we have to stand on in the authority of God is His Word. It is the Word of God that comes to John the Baptist in the wilderness. How many are glad that God will call you where you are to do what He wants you to do? It is the divine authority. And then we see the demanding announcement. John, I like this. John, once given the authority by God, by the Word of God in the wilderness, says that he came into all the country about Jordan, and what was he doing? Preaching. But preaching doesn't work anymore. Preaching won't do it. Preaching won't get the crowd. Preaching won't solve the difficulties. God's Word came to John, and he came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John does not come entertaining. John does not come with a bunch of new programs. John does not come with a Greyhound bus and the latest hot and popular singing group. He does not come with the desire to put out a survey and find out what the people want and then give the people what they want. No, he comes preaching. He comes proclaiming, and he proclaims repentance. Repentance being a demand for the changing of their minds toward the things of God. It's a demand to turn from their sinfulness to God. A demand to turn from their apathy to excitement about the things of God. It's a demand to change their mind. It is the preaching that demands a change of perception toward their sins and a turning to trust and commit themselves to God's way of salvation that is soon to be revealed. It is a demand to turn from your own efforts to keep the law and trust in Jesus Christ, who is going to keep the law. Repentance is a life lived with a sense of responsibility before a sovereign God. God is reordering one's perspective towards sin. It is recognizing sin in us and dealing with the sin that is in us. And let me tell you something. Repentance is not something you did way back yonder one time. Repentance is an ongoing work of God. You repented, and you have been repenting ever since. Now you say, preacher, you're not going to get much of a crowd preaching repentance. You need to sort of give folks five reasons from the Bible how they can be a better parent. Six reasons how they can be more influential on the job. Seven reasons how they can be a better spouse. Eight reasons why they can do this, and nine reasons why they can accomplish that. No, what we need is preaching of repentance, to turn from our sins, to turn from our selfishness, to turn from our ideas, and trust and commit ourselves to God, His salvation, and His way. It is the demanding announcement that John the Baptist is called to do in this climate. What do you do when the political apparatus that is structured above the people is wicked and evil? You preach repentance. You preach Christ. What do you do to a church that has foregone looking to God and has gone their own way? You preach repentance and Jesus Christ. That's what people need. We don't need to be preaching people can get better. People can't get better. They need to be saved. The calling that starts John's ministry is the divine calling, the divine authority of the Word of God, and the demanding announcement of repentance. We'll talk more about that next week when we deal with the message of John. But let that suffice. That is John's ministry, to preach repentance. You think John was upset that God gave him such a minor ability to attract a crowd? How am I going to? You think John the Baptist and God had that argument? How am I going to attract a crowd like that? How am I going to do that? Preaching repentance. No, that's what God had called him to do, and that's what he did. Thirdly, the commission that simplifies John's ministry. Go back and look here with me. The Bible says, as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Here, with that last little phrase, we are brought to the understanding that God has sent salvation not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Not only for Israel, but for all the world. Amen? Now I want you to notice here this commission that really just simplifies John's ministry. We overcomplicate things. Notice he has a prophetic commission. Go back to Isaiah 40, and you'll find out that's the quote here that we're given. We are reminded that John the Baptist is simply fulfilling the prophetic words of the prophet Isaiah. Or in other words, John the Baptist and his ministry is simply the evidence that God is always faithful to his word. He promised that one would cry in the wilderness. He promised that one would come and make crooked ways straight. He promised that one would come and make rough ways smooth. And praise God, God is faithful to his word. Here's John the Baptist, and his ministry is to cry out in the wilderness. His ministry is to make crooked ways straight and make rough ways smooth. That's who God was talking about. Isaiah foretold of one who God would send to prepare the way for God's salvation, and John the Baptist is the fulfillment to that prophecy. Now, I want you to notice something here. In Isaiah's time, the release from Babylonian captivity was a picture of what God's ultimate work in salvation that John will one day pave the way for. And I want you to start thinking differently. We think everything earthly is about the earthly. It's not. What if, when God delivers us from our little troubles and our little trials and our little problems, when God swoops in and rescues us from our little difficulties, what if God was using that to show us a picture that He has rescued us and He has delivered us from sin? What if He has using that to show us and to picture for us and to remind us that He not only has conquered that little enemy in our life, but He has conquered the main enemy in our life, death? What if those trials and troubles that we are given in this life, what if they are to be used of God to remind us that one day God is going to remove us from all troubles and all trials? Somebody help me. What if all of these troubles and trials are to picture for us one day where there'll be no troubles, there'll be no trials? What if God meeting our needs pictures for us a time in which all of us will be worshiping God and will have no need to eat, will have no need to sleep, will have no need of drink? God always meets our needs. What if everything that happens to us earthly is to picture for us not only the earthly reality, but a future eternal reality as well? Oh, listen. John will pave the way. He will manifest. Captives will be set free. Sins will be forgiven. Souls will be saved. God will be glorified. Salvation is the work of God. And it is the work that proves the faithfulness of God to His Word. Amen? Let me tell you something. When God promised in the Old Testament that He would send John the Baptist to pave the way, to make straight the way for Jesus Christ, do you know God had you in mind? You know, when John the Baptist is paving the way, that is paving the way for you to come and receive salvation as well. Oh, the implications are great. John the Baptist simply has a prophetic commission. He is the fulfillment of God's Word and the evidence that God is faithful to His Word. And then he has a particular commission. If you've been asleep, wake up. I want you to get this. John makes crooked ways straight and rough ways smooth. He takes what is crooked and he makes it straight. He goes where it's rough and he makes it smooth. How many are signing up for that? That's all you're doing. Making crooked straight, rough, smooth. For someone else. Now, I have no doubt that you would make the crooked straight and the rough smooth if that would somehow benefit you. But this is for someone else. Do you understand ministry is not for you? It is for someone else. Do you understand John is not here? John is not commissioned. John is not called to bring attention to himself. He is not here to make a name for himself. I'm waiting on you. He is not here to enlarge his ministerial footprint. He's not here to somehow leave his mark historically. He is not here to build his own kingdom, to manifest his own dynasty. No, he's not here to get some sort of internal fulfillment from doing the right thing. hear that a lot. You got to feel right to do something. No, John the Baptist is here to simply introduce Jesus and then get out of the way. Somebody help me. He is not here to direct attention to himself. He is here to direct attention away from himself toward the Lamb of God. He is not here to gather a following for himself. He's here to gather a following for Christ. No matter what it may cost him, he is to point others to Jesus. You ever notice those folks that will tell you they'll cloak things in religious terms, and all it is an avenue where they can boast on what they've done? They're bringing attention to themselves. They want you to see them. They want you to see how great they are. No, the calling of ministry and the calling of John the Baptist is tell somebody, introduce somebody to Jesus, then you get out of the way. You ever heard those folks that get up, they're supposed to introduce somebody, and 25 minutes later they finally get done? You understand introductions are supposed to be brief. Here's Jesus. Give him your attention. And then you get out of the way. Have you ever seen anybody introduce somebody and then when they got up on the platform, they just sort of stood up there with them? No. Ministry is you introduce Christ and then you get out of the way. This ain't about you. This ain't about you. This is about Christ. Do you understand that false teachers biblically are said to be about getting people to follow them? But you understand true teachers will point you away from them toward God. Someone once told me I should say more about myself in my preaching. I should share more about my personal thoughts and all that. I could not disagree more. You don't need more of me. You need more of him. You need less of me. Why? I don't matter. I'm not important. I'm not essential to the equation. Jesus is. I need to tell you about him and then duck out of sight and let you and him deal with what you got to deal with. John the Baptist is called and commissioned to be a nobody. Somebody help me. You know why people won't minister? Because they want to be somebody when they're called to be a nobody. We are nobodies. Jesus is everything. Jesus said over and over again, I am. When they came to John the Baptist and said, are you this? Are you this? Are you this? John the Baptist said, I ain't. Somebody help me. Are you something? I'm not. But Jesus is. Prepare the way. Make the crooked way straight. The rough ways smooth. And then get out of the way. That was the commission of John the Baptist. Declare the way. Don't spoil the way. If you don't get out of the way, you're spoiling the way. Say amen. The most important thing is that people know Christ, not that they know us. Somebody help me. They die knowing you, they'll still go to hell. They got to know Jesus. Amen? That's the simple ministry of John the Baptist that all of us, in one way or another, are called to be. Say amen. The particular commission is for us to direct attention to him, not ourselves. To tell of him, not us. We don't matter. Let me tell you something. If you don't tell him, God will get somebody else too. You're not essential to the equation. You're not holding God up. You're not hindering God one bit. He'll get the job done. It can be done with you or without you. Say amen. And that goes for me too. Boy, that's liberating, isn't it? Had a guy one time, my old church, had some visitors come. We were all excited because the visitors come. We were just, we praised God. God brought you and God sent you over here. The guy said, well, I'll tell you right now, they wouldn't have come unless I had invited them. Really? God's up there in heaven just waiting for you to do what you're going to do. And if you don't do it, God's all frustrated. No, I don't think that's true. Do you? I'm glad that we have been called not to be something, not to project something, but just to point to Him. Amen? We can all do that. It's simple. The commission that simplifies John's ministry, the calling that starts John's ministry, and the climate that surrounded John's ministry. What do you and I need to do in a climate where our country is on a downhill slide and where our churches are losing ground morally? What are we to do? Very simple. On the authority of God's Word, point people to Jesus and get out of the way. Amen? Point people to Him. They're sinners. They need their sins forgiven. And the only way they can have their sins forgiven is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Pretty simple, isn't it? I had so long thought that John the Baptist must have had this lengthy ministry. I mean, paving the way and making, must have been this lengthy ministry. You know how long it was? Probably less than a year. In less than a year, John the Baptist is going to be dead. Head chopped off. Why? Because he told the ruler the truth. Less than a year. He's going to be gone. But in that year, God had a calling and a commission, and He paved the way for the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we are still to do. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You would work on our hearts this word, this truth. That You'd commission us. That we, by the authority of the Word of God,